This week on Reality Check, we are interviewing Karen Helgeson and Carol Jorgensen, who are from the Theroptimists, and they've been working with A21 on the Walk for Freedom, which is about human trafficking. Now, this is a pretty adult topic, so if it's not appropriate for whoever you're sitting with, maybe you might want to look us up to listen to it another time. But we wanted to get into this because we just had the Walk for Freedom, and we think it's a pretty important topic to explore. I know a lot of folks weren't really clear about what the Walk for Freedom was, and maybe that's a good place to start if you'd like to just pick up from there. And thank you for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome. We are thrilled to be here. We were especially touched at the community of Brookings, who opened up their businesses for our flyers and promoted the walk. And we received a good deal of help from the construction company in the parking lot where we started and stopped. They really worked hard to make room for us there. But more than that, we were really thrilled to work together. Brookings and Gold Beach Theroptimists and the Crescent City Theroptimists, all three groups worked together to bring this walk to Brookings.
And Karen, we don't want to forget the Talawa Dene Nation that helped us.
The Talawa Dene Nation gave us a good deal of monetary support. They paid for all our flyers and posters, cards, save the date cards, and they also provided tents the day of the walk. But what some people were confused about was the word slavery. Mm-hmm. We used the word slavery in our posters, and we had some people ask us about that. They were concerned because they felt that there was no such thing in our nation, and they objected to it.
Well, let's talk for a minute about that. Slavery is essentially human trafficking. I have that right?
It is. It's modern day.
It really is
slavery.
What that amounts to is plain old-fashioned slavery.
Yes.
And it happens all over the world. You would think maybe not in the United States, but here we are. I think you told me 45,000 people were enslaved each year.
In the United States,
yeah.
That's the number that's reported. That's greatly underreported.
That's right.
And when it comes to children and the coercion that the traffickers use to talk the kids into selling themselves for the pimp or the trafficker, then you're talking even more about a person who doesn't want to tell. They really are ashamed. Children are ashamed, the boys and the girls.
Right.
And so when you have that type of coercion being used to keep them quiet about it, you know that it's not being reported at the rate that it's happening.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, it's pretty illegal stuff, so it's going to be as underground as it could possibly be. Let's back up a little bit, because you're talking about both labor trafficking, which is, I'm assuming, is like immigrants getting coyotes to bring them across, and then they're like indentured servitude, where they're supposed to pay off the cost of the trip to get here, that kind of thing. And then you have the sexual trafficking as well. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. There are actually 27 types of trafficking listed on the Polaris website.
Wow.
But we, generally speaking, talk about three types of labor trafficking, and then sex trafficking, and then child soldiers being those five major categories.
Yeah.
But there are so many different types of trafficking that it's definitely something worth reading about. When people try to come to us and tell us there's no such thing as slavery in Oregon,
it's shocking.
We know that's not true. We know that. In fact, Oasis, the women's shelter Oasis, has changed their name now to be called Oasis Advocacy and Shelter, because they are assisting those who have been trafficked.
Oh, well, that's good. Let's start with the labor trafficking and try to deal with each of these individually. I'm assuming that we don't have too many of the child soldiers in this country, no. But I could be wrong about that.
No.
So let's do the labor side of things. If you want to tell us a little bit. I mentioned the immigration scenario. Are there other scenarios where people end up being trafficked?
Well, I think it's happening a lot at our southern border right now. They're being brought across. They pay an exorbitant amount of money to get here, and then they're tricked, or maybe their passport, if they would have one, is taken away, and they have this huge debt that they have to pay off.
Uh-huh.
And so they're just basically lost without any resource. They just, you know, are stuck
they
in
don't
a,
know
a
anyone.
Job.
They probably don't speak the language that
Correct.
Well.
So that's, you know, I mean, that's a horrible position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there are thousands of people that's happening.
And they
to.
Don't want to be found out and rescued, unquote, because they're going to be sent back. And that was the whole point of getting
exactly.
here in the first place. So
that's very true. The term is bonded labor. It's called bonded labor because the person is forced to work for low wages to pay back an impossible debt.
Mm-hmm.
And they may work 2 years, and they haven't even hardly touched the debt yet,
right.
according to the trafficker. We have a man here in Brookings who's working at a restaurant now who was trafficked 2 years in a Portland restaurant, similar
wow.
to the one where he's mm-hmm. working here. We're actually his refuge city.
So would a person, like he was working at a restaurant in Portland, would the owner of that restaurant realize he was being trafficked?
The owner probably was trafficking him.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. It's just so hard to imagine that, you know, you think of a restaurant owner as being a reasonably upstanding person.
Yes.
But there's always a bad apple anywhere, right?
That's well, right.
Think
That's
about right. fast food restaurants and the turnover on their employees. And
yeah.
So, you
and
know,
it they, could be your favorite restaurant.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Where the people are working for no money or low money. I'm from Minnesota, and there was a man arrested in the suburb next to mine who had roofers sleeping in his basement on the floor. He'd bring them out early in the morning and bring them back late at night. None of the neighbors knew this was going on.
Wow.
And these men were all trying very hard not to have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
to their home country and trying to make a better life for themselves here.
I suppose it's, you know, some entrepreneur who happens to have a contact to the underworld. They, you know, maybe were childhood friends or something and they grew up together. So they go out and have some social event and find out that they could actually have labor that cheaply. And it's a big temptation.
Yeah.
Terrible
yeah.
thing.
Very, very much so. The men were not given beds, they were sleeping on the floor, it was winter. I mean, this was some pretty
it gets pretty cold in Portland
cruel.
Too.
This was actually Minneapolis.
Oh, Minneapolis.
And it was
right.
cruel. It was cruel what they
That's
were
really
doing
cold.
To these men. And so, you know, at that point, it came really close to home for me.
Mm-hmm.
This was 10 years ago when I started working on the issue in Minneapolis. A third type of human trafficking, labor trafficking. There's bonded labor. There's forced labor, where
How's
people
a forced labor. Work?
Forced labor is they're forced to work in captivity, so they are given no chance to leave. Bonded labor, you may or may not be in captivity, but most often they are in an apartment trying to pay off an impossible debt. Forced labor, it's captivity with little or no pay, and then there...
Does that happen in this country?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's, oh, my goodness, I'm getting such an education.
It's the fastest growing crime in the world.
Really? Wow.
Human trafficking has replaced guns for... it's the second most lucrative crime after drugs.
Wow.
And some people say it's coming up fast on drugs. The third type of labor trafficking is called involuntary domestic servitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's forcing a person to work and live in the same place for little or no money. And typically these are women and they are housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they come from another country
mm-hmm.
and they have come over thinking, you know, that they are going to be paid and they are not. I read of a man recently who freed the woman who was their family housekeeper for his entire lifetime. And when he grew up, he freed her. And he took her back to the Philippines to visit her family.
Oh, wow.
But his parents would always dodge the question with their friends. They were asked about her repeatedly, and they'd dodge the question.
It sounds like most of the folks that have this kind of trafficking, that it's pretty much all immigrants. Is that true, or are there other?
I think that that's probably a realistic statement.
Uh-huh. For labor trafficking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From other countries.
Right. I know that the removal of the passports and the language barrier, all of these things,
yeah,
puts them at risk.
Uh-huh.
And so they're just in prison, basically.
Well, and I've been fairly often to Mexico and dealt with the federales down there, and they have got a little bit different system down there. They are... They are often bribing the people to avoid being incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some experience with some federales and my daughter. And I'm thinking all of this is foreign to a woman coming up from Mexico who doesn't know that a police officer might actually help her. And
right.
And be a trustworthy person. I know that there are federales in Mexico who are trustworthy,
mm-hmm,
but it is also somewhat different down there. So I am sure that the language is a big part of why they don't. But also the coercion and the beatings. I mean,
yeah,
they're afraid. They're afraid to say anything.
And a lot of folks are coming up from probably Central and South America as well as Mexico.
Correct.
That's correct.
You
yeah
know?
Yeah.
Wow. So there's a lot going on that side of things. And who polices this aspect, this labor aspect?
Well, we have...
Is it ICE?
We have ICE. And actually, here in Oregon, do you mean?
Yeah, or just the U.S. in general, either way.
We have a department of, under the Department of Justice, we have a trafficking division.
Okay.
And we have FBI agents that are specific to mm-hmm that crime, who work specifically in human mm-hmm trafficking.
I know the Department of Health Services.
So it's really interagency.
It is interagency. And it's required, you know, Shared Hope International out of Washington gives each state a letter grade every year for their work in protecting children in sex trafficking, as well as all the other aspects of human trafficking.
How are we doing?
And Oregon has a B. We're not doing too badly, but they state what needs to be done to get to be in the A category. There's only 12 states ahead of us, so we're mm-hmm like the 13th state.
Do you know what it is that we need to do, as long as we're on
well,
that subject?
Well, it has to do with, a lot of it has to do with the training of our police and sheriffs.
Okay.
And there's a lot more to it. It would behoove anyone to go to the Shared Hope International, SHI, website and read our state report. It's interesting.
So what is the URL for the website?
The URL for the website, I think, is shi.org.
Okay.
So
let's
it's Shared
repeat
Hope,
that at the end,
Shared
too,
Hope International.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's wonderful. It's very comprehensive,
mm-hmm,
and they talk about all of our laws and what's lacking in our laws. I really don't know all the specifics of the report, but we shouldn't be ashamed. We are right in the middle of the country, and we are doing our part to improve mm-hmm our grade. We could work a little harder. I think we could work a little faster, but it isn't that we aren't doing anything. We are Portland. I shouldn't say we, but Portland is number two for child sex trafficking in the nation.
Whoa.
Right behind Las Vegas. Well, and part of that, they have done research, and part of that is due to the great number of strip clubs in Portland. It's almost like throwing out the welcome mat to sex trafficking to have so many strip clubs. And people are, they often challenge that statement. They often will say, oh, but that's not the same. And it isn't the same. They're right, it isn't. But many of the strip clubs have women who are being trafficked.
Well, it's pretty much the pimp and prostitute relationship in a lot of cases. And if the pimp gets you a job at the strip club and you come home and give your money to him or else, it's pretty much the same thing. The owners probably turn a blind eye, even though they're pretty clear what's going on. But
yeah. A lot of it has to do with the third party force, fraud, or coercion factor. If that woman has been bribed somehow or forced somehow into the work, then it is sex trafficking. It's sex trafficking even if there isn't coercion, if they're under 18. Did you know that makes sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Should be.
It is. And so, you know, that's very, even if you can't prove that there was any kind of coercion with someone under age 18, that's trafficking.
But I suppose, though, in that case, you would have to show that the person being accused was taking their money or, you know, you'd have to show how that relationship was trafficking in any case anyway.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
But you told me the statistic as we were getting set up here just a little bit ago that the lifespan is life expectancy after going into that, was it from 12 to 14 year olds?
Yes.
Was 7 years?
Yes.
That's just so shocking. I'm just still trying to absorb that.
They call
incredible.
It the game or they call it the life. Either way, it's slang for being trafficked. And I watched today very good video, and it's, I don't know how many of our listeners know about Rebecca Bender, but she's out of Grants Pass. She was trafficked from a college campus. I don't know that she was in school yet, but she was soon to be enrolled. And she was duped by a man who pretended to be her boyfriend. And he took her to Las Vegas, where she thought she would be living with him and help, you know, support her and her child. And it was a big scam. She ended up being trafficked for years before she could escape. And he used the child basically as one of the coercion factors.
And that, I believe, well, I don't know about the child part, but I think that's how pimps generally do it with these young women that are not very sophisticated. They think they're in love, and next thing you know, they get pretty much manipulated into this life.
Yeah. She is nationally known now, the Rebecca Bender Initiative.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she has a new book coming out that'll be out in January. I forget the title. I apologize. But
the name is Rebecca Bender.
Yes, yes. And so be
looking
for her. And
she has other books out already then?
She has an entire initiative, and you can see her on YouTube.
Okay.
If you search Rebecca Bender, you will find her. She's known nationally for the restorative work that she's done with the survivors. She has an online program that hundreds and hundreds of women have gone through. You don't come out of that kind of lifestyle unscathed. And
so I can only imagine.
The recovery process is painfully slow sometimes. And I think that's why there aren't more women, don't you, Carol, that talk about their experience?
Sure.
because
it's humiliating for them.
A lot of shame
and
involved.
And it re-traumatizes them to tell their story. I heard one today from a Sarah Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Hunt Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trafficked, I believe, out of Corvallis. And her voice shakes on the radio. It's a radio piece that you can also listen to on YouTube. And you know she's reliving that as she tells it. So we have to be so careful because these women have, they have like PTSD.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
It's when they're devastating.
They have to turn 12 to 20 tricks a day, sometimes
more.
Oh,
my God.
You know, and the lifespan for the younger people that we were talking about, you know, they die from sleep deprivation, extreme stress
and drugs
that goes on.
I'm sure part of the picture.
Dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
Even.
Severe violence, homicide, and AIDS.
And I'm just, even without all of that, just the mere experience would traumatize a person who was that young for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This Sarah Hunt was talking about the young girls that were with her, and she wasn't even 18.
Mm-hmm.
But she was talking about the 12 to 14-year-old girls in the same house.
Yeah.
They are babes.
You're listening to KCIWLP, Curry Coast Community Radio, 100.7 FM in beautiful Brookings, Oregon. And we're here with Karen Helgeson and Carol Jorgensen talking about human trafficking. So, I mean, this 7 years life expectancy, that's, I suppose, is going to affect a person even if they've gotten out of the life. I mean, the amount of trauma. But like you said, there's AIDS, there's violence. You said something about it was the second most at-risk situation after gun violence?
After
it's most lucrative.
Actually,
it's
after drugs.
Most money.
Drugs is number one.
Drugs, mm-hmm. Yes.
Human trafficking is number two, and then guns, mm-hmm. which used to be number two, weapons are three.
$150.2 billion U.S. dollars per year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dollars.
Yeah. Oh,
could be used for something else.
We know what we're up against. When we decided to do the walk, by the way, we did this because one of our members had always said we should raise money for an organization that's helping women, men who have been trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us felt like we knew how to do a walk or a run. And she ended up passing away two years ago, a year and a half ago, from a brain tumor. And mm-hmm. we had it in our agenda that we really needed to do this. And about that time, I heard that there was an international walk that was already organized, and all you had to do was sign on and be approved as a host.
Uh-huh.
So we called, and we had to do one of those video interviews, which, you know, technology isn't my strong suit. And we found out we qualified. And so this was the first ever South Coast A21 Walk for Freedom last October 19th. And 500 cities across the world had it on the same day.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this woman was from Australia who started it.
Mm.
And she had walks in 50 countries, in 500 cities. It's been building over mm-hmm. the last 5 years.
Do you plan to do it every year?
We don't know. We had some second thoughts because we got a lot of feedback that people would like to give locally, not globally.
Oh.
And this is a global cause.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that an Oregonian woman wouldn't ever benefit from something A21 had established and mm-hmm. put in place here in the United States. But they're opening hotlines in Bulgaria where there isn't one. Right. We have a hotline number. Mm-hmm. Does everybody know the hotline number?
Oh, please, let's share that.
I am so touched with the fact that Oregon has one and the United States has one. But the United States number is easier to remember. Mm-hmm. It's 888-373-7888.
Huh.
So when you see it written, you often see it 888-373-7888, which is an easy thing
almost
to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the local number for Oregon is 503-251-2479. And we just would like people to put that in their phones.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to be, right, suspicious.
Absolutely.
You don't have to prove it. You just have to be suspicious. A friend of mine said, a guy showed up in a restaurant with about 8 girls in tow, and he bought them each one hamburger. Should I have reported that?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, were they dressed like a ball team? And he said, no. I said, yeah, I think you should have reported that.
Well, you have this flyer here that shows the signs of human trafficking, which I thought was very useful. Do you want to share some of that?
Sure. So if you see a group of people, young girls, and they're controlled by another person.
Like the guy ordering 8 hamburgers for 8 girls.
Oftentimes, the girls can be a young man as well, could be overly fearful or depressed, very submissive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And again, poor eye contact and just seeming like they can't make their own decisions or they're not allowed to make their own decisions. Uh-huh. There's controlled movement. So if it's time for them to go to work, there may be a group of them, mm-hmm. and they're all taken by one individual.
Mm-hmm.
So again, they're being controlled.
Right.
Lack of earnings. And for the most part, the girls are earning money, but they're immediately handing it over mm-hmm. to their pimp.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, they're doing things, but they don't have any money to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Lack of official identification. And so with a lot of our people that have come across the borders, they have no identification at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really stuck when you just, you know, you can't prove who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're afraid, obviously, of being returned from where they have come from.
Right.
So they have been deceived by a false job offer. Now, whether they'll be forthcoming and tell you that or tell anyone that,
mm-hmm.
they're usually pretty guarded.
That's a scenario you hear a lot mm-hmm. about, like, I was supposed to have a job as a secretary, and it ended up
right.
being prostitution kind of thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll obviously express feelings of being tracked or trapped. So, you know, it's just all these things that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Not having any power. They have just had everything taken away from them.
Yeah.
So they are just dependent on this person who does not treat them well. And so they just kind of follow the leader.
And I imagine they just feel helpless and hopeless, don't really see a future.
I know that Sarah Hunt Perkins, whose story I listened to today, said that she had often run into people, DHS workers, all kinds of people who could have helped her.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, they did not see me. I was invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And I often think of women who look neglected.
Mm-hmm.
It could be dental. They look somewhat malnourished. somewhat exhausted, even dirty. Mm-hmm. And we do look away. We don't look at them. We look away. And I think we just need to be more vigilant. And we need to be a little bit more daring to call the human trafficking hotline number and say what you suspect.
Well, and I imagine that a young person in that situation is going to be pretty reticent to even speak up because they've probably been pretty convinced that there is no escape, that nobody's going to help them. And, you know, because that would be part of the psychological conditioning. And also, you know, they're used to being under the thumb of this person. And if somebody were to say, oh, are you being trafficked or something to that, you know, extent, they know if they say anything and it doesn't come out that they get rescued, that they're going to be beaten and God mm-hmm. knows what the consequences are going to be. So they're going to be very reticent about who they share that with.
Yes.
I read one story by a person who became a psychologist, but at 12, mm-hmm. Her father had upper middle class family.
Yeah.
But they moved a lot. And that becomes particularly hard for young girls as they're moved to new schools and meeting new friends and trying to fit in.
Make them more vulnerable.
So she had just moved, I'm going to say it was Pittsburgh, but anyway, she was having trouble mm-hmm. fitting in. And she recognized that there was a young man she was not allowed to date. That was being nice to her, but he kept his distance. The kids went to the mall, and he was always around, would give her compliments, but stayed on the periphery. And then after about a year, he offered to give her a ride home.
Uh-huh.
And she knew that that was something she wasn't allowed to do, but being a teenager,
right,
she got in the car with him. He wanted to stop by his home for just a moment because he'd forgotten something and enticed her inside. So she was drugged and raped for hours. And during that time, they were taking all kinds of pictures of her mm-hmm. with these sexual acts. And once she was aware of what was going on, they showed her the pictures and told her, she was a good Catholic girl, they would take these pictures to the priest or to her dad, or they would harm her family.
Mm-hmm.
They would call her 2 to 3 nights a week, and she would turn tricks. She'd sneak out of the house. She would turn tricks all night and get home in time for her parents not to realize what was happening.
Oh, my goodness.
So this story, her father was finally transferred, and it was one of these situations where the company bought the house, so there was no sign in front of the house that they were moving. And she escaped that situation because of that.
Yeah, but
sale.
How unusual is that?
So she never told her parents what she had gone through until she was 30 years old.
Oh, my goodness. The other thing you hear about is that they might have a whole crew of women and they have them in a place for a while. And there's a whole network across the country and they just send them on to another city after a short period of time.
Correct.
So they never establish any support.
No. And also there are stories now about girls having barcodes on their necks, which they actually tattoo. The pimps have them tattooed, so they will, they're like a can of beans in the store. And they barter these girls. One pimp will get, you know, they'll sell between one another. So it's just the value that they put on a human life mm-hmm. is just nothing.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
We have several groups many groups now that are fighting, but that doesn't mean that the girls who are in the life know about them.
Right. I mean, I barely know about this. It was only that you started doing the walk that it came to the surface around here. I never hear about it in the general course of things.
That's the purpose of the walk.
Yeah.
We did raise almost $3,000 for A21.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the primary reason that we did the walk. It was primarily for awareness. Mm-hmm. We want parents to educate their kids, mm-hmm. and not just their daughters, but their sons as well.
Yes.
The Soroptimists have given high school curriculum to all three high schools in Curry County, and some of the middle schools have it as mm-hmm. well. I know Gold Beach Middle School has it. I don't think our middle school here in Brookings does. But we need to watch these videos with our kids, mm-hmm. not just send them to watch them in health class.
Right.
But if parents see a human trafficking program at the library or their church, back in Minnesota, a lot of the churches are showing the videos to the parents with the kids. They have a night where they all come together to watch. Mm. And I think more of that needs to be done. We are living in a vacuum here on the coast, especially when we found out that the term slavery wasn't even a commonplace term yet.
Right.
Here in rural
Oregon. It was offensive to certain people.
They were offended and asked that the...
You're not being patriotic because we don't have slavery.
That's right. And we do. We object to it too, but not for the same reason.
And one thing I wanted to get back to is it's not just girls, it's boys too.
That's correct.
As an ex-therapist, I worked with a lot of people who'd been sexually abused, not necessarily trafficked, but have been abused one way or another. And it was so much of an eye-opener for me to realize how many men, they say 1 in 5 potentially have been abused. I mean, I say potentially because I still have a hard time believing that many men have been abused in their lifetimes. But there's so much shame for a man, because it's so unmanly, unquote, and all of that. It's much more in the closet.
That's true. The darkness to light training that I do, and that's free to anyone in Curry County who would like to have that three-hour training. That has, of the 8 survivors that are depicted in this three-hour training, 3 are men. Mm-hmm. So the men talk about what it was like to have been sexually abused, and very candidly, they're older men and they're looking back. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right, and they have often linked sexual abuse in the home and in the neighborhood to being trafficked. Those kids that run away, they become part of the foster care system.
Because how do you make a living when you're 12?
That's right.
You know,
right. 25% of the traffickers, mm-hmm. the pimps. Mm-hmm. have also been in foster care.
Well, that's another thing I discovered doing therapy, is that the perps were very often, more often than not, I'd say the vast majority even, had been treated that way themselves. And that's where they learned that behavior. And it happened to them at such a young age that mm-hmm. it was very imprinted. And so in some ways, I think I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying it, but we need to be a little bit compassionate towards those guys, because they're just passing it on, and they, you know, they've never got the help they need.
Exactly.
And there is an organization for offenders, mm-hmm. and it's called STOP. Mm-hmm. And we do encourage them to get help.
Yeah.
And we do have a heart for the offenders, too. If you've ever met an offender who has stopped offending mm-hmm. and gone to work for the other side,
right,
there is no more joyful individual. Because they are living in darkness.
For sure.
They are as oppressed as any individual on this earth to be doing this kind of what they call work.
Yeah.
It's got to take its toll. There's a price to pay.
For sure. Let me say one more time, you're listening to KCIWLP, Curry Coast Community Radio, 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon. And we're talking with Karen Helgeson and Carol Jorgensen, and we're talking about human trafficking. And so again, if you're just tuning in and you have young people with you, this might not be the most appropriate subject, so beware. So, you just said you have a three-hour training called
Darkness to Light, Stewards of Children.
And tell us about that a little bit.
That's wonderful that, you know, the Brookings Seroptimists all came to Gold Beach to get the training. I was so proud of them. Their group is really dedicated to knowing as much as they can about human trafficking. Mm-hmm. And there are links from child sexual abuse to being trafficked. And so they asked if I would do the workshop. And I am trained to do the workshop, and I also have an affiliation with Bay Area Hospital, who now pays for all the books. So, for instance, tomorrow I'm in servicing the 4-H volunteers of Gold Beach.
Okay.
I did the school district last month. The entire school district had the Darkness to Light training. They're mandatory reporters.
Okay, so it's about training mandatory reporters to do that?
To watch for the signs.
Okay, but it sounds like civilians can take it as well.
Oh, yes. In fact, Bay Area Hospital is about to start, they'll be advertising in the pilot, I'm sure, asking businesses to become partners. So, for instance, Rogue Credit Union had me in-service their staff as part of their monthly in-servicing.
Uh-huh.
And they would get credit for that then. We did a similar thing with human trafficking. We asked the hotels and motels, the Seroptimists did, to train their staff in a Stanford University online free class for the hospitality industry on human trafficking.
I imagine that's pretty relevant for their world, they have to deal with those issues.
Yes, and it protects the hotel as well.
I imagine so, yeah.
If they train their staff. I think it was JOTS that did 80% like within the week. They called us and showed us all their certificates, and so we went over and awarded their hotel a certificate for having trained its staff. It was really very interesting to go to all these hotels and motels and watch their faces as we showed them what they could be asking their staff to do, and would they themselves be willing to do it, the managers.
Yes.
It was interesting. We had lots of good conversations.
And we now have a plan to go to fast food restaurants and to gas stations and with the adjacent stores, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping that we'll create more of an awareness.
Right.
The team
is a thoroughfare here for people to be trafficked.
101 is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, because there's so much police and sheriff covering 5 that they come up 101. We don't have the coverage.
Right. That makes
they
sense.
Have.
And we didn't bring this up, but Super Bowl Sunday happens to be the largest 2 weeks in the year of trafficking to take place. There's a lot of ready cash and large groups of people. And so they just traffic all of the girls and boys into the area where the event's being held. I was reading that a stockholders meeting is a very popular place. And
so any kind of event is a target for
event.
Them. Yeah.
Also the oil fields of North Dakota and South Dakota and Montana, they bring in. In fact, that's where a lot of the Native American women have gone missing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have 5,000 missing women and girls, and they may be murdered or simply being taken to be trafficked, but they disappear. And this is just now coming out. The Native community has known about it for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But we were very fortunate to work with the Talawa Dene Children and I'm sorry if I'm going to say it wrong, Community and Families, mm-hmm. I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Community and Families Division of Smith River. And they came on alongside of us and distributed information about that project. They hung red dresses from the tent. That's a symbol of those missing women.
Ah, wow. Well, let's see. You said 45,000 people in the United States right
per
now.
Year.
Per year.
Mm-hmm.
And 500 here in Oregon.
Well, that's the reported
number.
The reported calls to the hotline.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, too, that you can dial 911 if you don't have the number. Don't let that stop
right.
you. 911 are ready to also take calls. The Soroptimus brought the Department of Justice to Gold Beach 2 years ago, and an FBI agent came with her, Amanda Monaco. I believe she's the director for the state of Oregon.
Hmm.
And she and Aaron Ludwig, the FBI agent, came and did 2 days of trainings to allow for the different shift changes for our law enforcement community here.
Well, that's good.
It was good. It was very good training. We could have had it a longer one, but it is mandatory for the sheriff and the police departments in Oregon to have human trafficking training. So we did bring it once, and now we'd like to bring it again.
Well, certainly no end of need for this kind of support. You were talking about the issue of contributing to a national organization like A21
is international.
International.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, for instance, the Oasis House here.
Yes.
And are there other groups besides them that could probably use support and donations and so forth around the area that would be more local?
Yes, I'm sure that, I don't know the specific other groups, but I'm sure there are areas where we could help
mm-hmm.
to, you know, I think Oasis probably does the most right now as far
There's two more in Southern Oregon, the Rebecca Bender Initiative, mm-hmm. which I mentioned uh-huh. already tonight, and then there's one called Ridge, but they also have a restoration center for young people who mm-hmm. are survivors.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to call them victims.
Yeah.
They survived.
Right.
I know that Wally's House has the information about that other center. Wally's House, you know, is our Curry Intervention Center for Child Sexual Abuse.
I didn't know much about that, so let's talk about that for a minute.
Wally's House is in Gold Beach.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be in the basement of the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
One of our Soroptimus sisters donated a home, had it all renovated,
wow.
and they moved the intervention center to a house so that no one lives there, but that's where a child can be interviewed and medically examined so they don't have to go to the hospital or the courthouse until they have to.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
good.
The parents are given support there as well. Our own Jackie Antunes, she's a Gold Beach Soroptimist, is the director. And Wally's House has only really just received its nonprofit status. So it definitely needs support, and we could raise funds to donate to either Oasis or Wally's House.
I think they'd be an excellent resource.
Yes, especially when we know the links that go from the children who have been sexually abused to those who are trafficked.
And you mentioned earlier about kids that had been in foster care were more at risk for trafficking as well.
Very much more. Mm-hmm.
Is there a number attached to that? 75% or something like that?
65%. 65%. Yeah. Of the children actively being trafficked.
So that reflects poorly on the system, to say the least.
I was shocked when I went online the other day and just just typed in 2019 missing Oregon children, and pages of pictures came up.
Mm-hmm.
Pages and pages.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea so many kids are missing in Oregon.
2,000. That's amazing.
And if they say 1 in 7 are trafficked when they're missing, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah, and that's 300 kids.
I would challenge any parent to take a look at that website. I was shocked.
It is shocking.
I've noticed on Facebook recently, there are a lot of, they're putting more and more pictures on. My daughter's been missing for 3 days and a picture. And it's tragic, you know.
One of the things they complained about in the Oregon report is that we get a lot of these kids reported, but when they're found, they don't have to report that.
Oh.
And so you have to be a little careful before you share that a child is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Google them and make sure they haven't been found.
Maybe there aren't 2,000 missing kids. That would be nice.
Yeah.
But there's still quite a few in any case. Well, so let's talk about anybody listening to this, like myself. I'm listening to a lot of this for the first time, even though I have some tangential background. If a person wants to get, you said go to YouTube and you'll see a lot of stories there. Rebecca Bender, was that her name?
Rebecca.
Rebecca mm-hmm. Bender. And look up her name for the YouTube stuff.
Yes.
And she also has some books.
Yes. And the new book, I can't wait to read it. Being that she's so close here, to have her come speak right now, it's $5,000.
Mm.
But all of that money goes back into her initiative.
What is the initiative? Can you say a little bit about that?
It incorporates the online classes
uh-huh.
that they provide for whoever wants them, and also a restoration center. Many of the women that have had restorative work done become speakers for mm-hmm. her. So we had one at one of our Soroptimist district meetings, and she was a victim of familial trafficking. So it was her stepfather who had trafficked her. He was a firefighter.
He kept her at home and trafficked her that way?
He did, and she didn't even know anything was wrong. She thought all girls had to do what she did.
They start you young enough, how do you know any better?
No. So, you know, later on, she was able to read about herself on Polaris. She read that she was a victim of familial trafficking, and she didn't even know what that was.
What is Polaris?
Polaris is a national tracking and reporting center for human trafficking.
Okay.
They've been around, I think, about as long as the issue has been around. So you want to get your good statistics from Polaris.
Mm-hmm.
Also here in Oregon, we have the Office on Women's Health, OWH, Children and Families, and you will get a lot of good Oregon statistics there. I don't think what people realize is that human trafficking and sexual abuse are the number one health issue for children, because nothing else destroys a child's life. And so if you go to the Center for Disease Control, they talk about domestic violence. Mm-hmm. They talk about child abuse,
yeah,
because those are health issues. The rest of the child's life will be impacted mm-hmm. by the damage done.
Absolutely.
During those years when they should have been having childhoods like.
Exactly.
You'd really want to have your child have.
So we have books you can go to, Rebecca Bender for one, and YouTube, and your training.
Darkness to Light, yeah.
We also have these various groups like Oasis, that are resources in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Other resources in the community that I would think we have, for instance, the HUD department, what's the name, the Child Protective Services?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That they're easy to call in if you think something's wrong in a home.
Yes.
Any other resources people should be aware of that I'm not thinking of right off the top here?
Well, just calling the Department of Health Services.
Yeah.
With their child and family areas, they can help.
Yeah.
And they certainly have a federal program dedicated to trafficking. So, and, you know, the airlines have, they have trained their staff now.
Really? That's
so
just
that's
recently.
Yeah.
Yes. It's getting better.
So, I guess that's our whole focus. It's just making people aware.
Getting the word out.
If it doesn't feel right, call it in.
Because that's really our first line of defense for anybody, because it's so underground.
Yeah. I came here from Minnesota, and I had been working on the issue in Minneapolis for 4 years before I came here. And it was fairly new, but we had one of the oldest restoration centers in the United States is called Breaking Free, and that's in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been working on it a little longer than some others. But I was shocked when I moved to the coast, and the only ones I could find working on the issue of human trafficking were the Seroptimists. That is an international organization,
right,
and they do have it as part of their platform to try to end human trafficking in our time. I was so impressed with that. At the time, about 6 years ago, they had a speaker named Dawn Schiller, and she is working in Oregon too. So if they're looking for another organization, S-C-H-I-L-L-E-R.
Okay.
Dawn Schiller. She actually, they made a movie about her life with Val Kilmer called Walking in Wonderland, or Wonderland. Her book is called Walking in Wonderland.
So before we close, will you repeat those two phone numbers you gave us at the top of the show, just about how to reach these groups and any websites? I know you mentioned a couple already. The A21 group?
Yes. A21.org.
And what was the other one you mentioned that was national?
Shared Hope International.
Shared Hope,
that's
right.
In Washington.
Okay.
And their restoration center for girls is almost on the border, I believe, between Washington and Oregon, and a lot of Oregon girls do go there. So.
And then we have here the phone numbers for the National Human Trafficking Hotline.
Correct.
Which is 888-373-7888.
Yes.
And our local for National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is 800-843-5678.
And Oregon's Human Trafficking Hotline is 503-251-2479.
That's great. Thank you so much for coming. I want to thank Karen Helgeson and Carol Jorgensen for coming, telling us about these important things. You can also reach out to Seroptimist, I imagine.
Yes.
Thank you so much for such great information. I know everybody's going to be very happy to hear it. Thank you to Pi White, our technical support and co-producer. This is Lee Tooley. Thank you for listening to Reality Check on KCIW.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.